You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show was broadcast live to Facebook. I'm sensing a trend. We were joined by stunt coordinator and just all-around cool guy, Jay Green. We first knew of Jay from Death House, stunt coordinator of that movie. He's also in Gotham, the new Tick series. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And he was also on vinyl. It's speaking parts on vinyl. But yeah, it's crazy. You know, there's all these scenes that he's been in that you don't realize are him. So anyways, really good show, really good guy. It's a good one. I said good a lot because it is. Just giving you a warning now, though. We did have a little bit of an audio issue about halfway through the show. So I do apologize if it gets a little weird for a second. It comes back. And of course, if you like what you hear, head over to The Dorkening over on Facebook every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show. Just like this one, where you can interact with the guests through the chat room and just have a good time. Ask questions. Do your stuff. If you haven't checked out all the other shows, do so. But first, enjoy this one. Thanks.
Here we are. And with that, we have Kevin.
I really want to get to the end of, I want to figure out the reason why your comics get so crusty. Like, what are you storing them in? I'm imagining that, like, a box made out of open wounds. I don't understand, like, how that's feasible. But yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Wolfie.
Oh!
Tony.
I don't even want to know. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm with Tony on that. I don't know when to know how in the world they got so crusty, how often you visit them to get them so crusty.
Yeah,
it's all on you.
They've gone through several moves. They've been in boxes. Some of them I haven't even opened boxes since I back in 2012 moved down to Florida, moved back up. You know, they've been sitting in closets, going here and there. But you don't want to hear about that. You want to hear about our awesome guest, Mr. Jay Green. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. We had the pleasure of meeting you on the set of Death House. We talked to you a bit there. Right. Leo and I had the pleasure of meeting you on the set of Death House. And, we've kind of followed you since then, been looking at stuff you've done. And you're all over the place.
I try and spread myself around. Yeah. So
I've heard. No, when we met you on Death House, you had a few things that you had worked on previously, some bigger, and you had some other bigger things coming up, and you told us at the time that you were going to be heading to go do Guardians 2, and then that came out. You're in Guardians 2 as well. But
I am. Don't blink or you'll miss me.
Yeah, but still, though, it's there. Yeah. On your social media, there's photos of you on the set. There's, whatever. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
So how did you get to become part of Death House?
In the stunt industry, we get an industry breakdown of all the shows that are going into production. One of the ones that I get comes out twice monthly. I had gotten one that said that, Death House was filming in New Jersey and I was in Philadelphia, and it had listed a coordinator I'd never heard of before. So I emailed my stuff in and, introduced myself to him, just hustling, trying to get on as a performer on it. And never heard anything back, didn't hear anything for probably a month and a half. And then I get a call from a producer friend in Philadelphia, and he says, "Hey, there's this guy, he's doing this horror movie. He needs a stunt coordinator. So I gave him your name. You'll probably be hearing from him." So sure enough, I get an email. And then I get a phone call, and I talk to Harrison Smith, and still had no idea what the project was. And he said, "I've got this horror movie I want to shoot. It's got some stunts in it. I want you to take a look at it. We need a coordinator. Do you mind if I send you the script?" And I said, "No, yeah, send me the script. I'll sign an NDA. I'll do a stunt breakdown, send it back over to you. And I wasn't really thinking anything of it. I had been, as a fan, had been waiting for Death House for years because of all the, you know, restarts that they had and stops and, you know, stop and start all the time. So I get an email from Harrison and I open it, and lo and behold, the script was Death House, to my surprise. So I was a little blown away at first. I was like, wow, this, I'm holding Death House, not holding it physically, but virtually holding Death House in my hand. So yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was, we were lucky enough to see, like, we didn't see any stunts like when we were live on the set, because let's just face it, we would have stuck out like a sore thumb. And it's like just two gingers leaning up against the wall watching some guys fight.
But, well, we did see some fighting. I mean, it was you know, people, you know, practice fighting in between scenes. We right. got to see that. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, because you know, you had quite a large group of people that were on your team. It seemed like they took up the whole holding area there. It was pretty great.
Yeah, well, there were days we had to do a you know, I don't want to give anything away, but a full-scale prison riot. So, you know, I think I had like 25 stunt guys all on for a few days there all at once. Yeah. Had to have stunt rioters and stunt prison guards and, you know, our actors involved in the action, one or two stunt doubles. It was a lot of people, a lot of man days.
Yeah. How long were you involved in the filming? Like, how many days were you guys there?
I mean, I was probably there for 3 weeks, pretty much the whole 3 weeks that they were in Philadelphia, because there was action, you know, even just little bits where they wanted me there just to make sure that our stars who were playing agents were, you know, carrying their guns right and operating the right way. And so there were... When they were in Philly, I mean, there was a few days I wasn't there where I got a day off, but I was there most of the 3 weeks that they were there. And then they went out. They shot all the action in Philadelphia at Holmesburg Prison, and then they went to L.A. and shot a lot of the cameo stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And you mentioned a prison riot. I know there's a portion of that in the trailer, and I know some of the cons and stuff. I know Harrison's shown it, you know, shown bits and pieces of it, and he actually screened the whole movie at ScareCon New England. And he showed us the prison riot at ScareCon New York last year, and I legit went back to the room and had dreams about it. Because he's just like, I want this to be straight brutality, for like 3 minutes of brutality. And it, like, for real, you're like, all right, this is gonna end soon. I'm like, but it didn't. It just didn't end. And I really dug it. So I mean, I thought it was great. I think I messaged you actually. I was like, hey, Harrison, show me this. I asked him, like, is it all right if I message Jay to tell him I said good job? He's like, yeah. I messaged you. I'm like, hey, I saw the prison riot. I loved it. So yeah, that's big. And one thing you mentioned, because we did a panel up at ScareCon New England. Unfortunately, we don't have the video of, but the you mentioned, you know, the fact that Kane is like a stunt legend, and you had to like work like alongside of him. And did you have to? I mean, I'm sure you didn't have to tell him what to do, but as far as like the whole setup and everything, how'd that work out?
Well, I was a little intimidated, I'm not gonna lie. Kane's been in this business a long time, a lot longer than I was. So, you know, when it came for certain things to happen, you know, he's a veteran. Some of the other guys that were in there with him, some of the guys that actors were, are horror movie veterans and stuff, and they kind of know what they were doing. You know, I didn't, you know, the script called for something, and I just said, you know, you guys have done this 100 times already. I'm just going to kneel down here out of frame with this pad. So, you know, if you fall, you can fall on this, have a nice soft landing, and just do your thing. You know what you're doing. Yeah.
If I can just break in here for a second, we got a bunch of people watching. Nicholas Boucher, Jason McFiggins, Laura Potter's in the house, Melissa Fortney. And so Nicholas wants to know, what is the scariest stunt you have been involved in with both scary and holy crap, this is insane scary?
Let's see. I mean, my biggest stuff was probably on Gotham. I got to double Michael Chiklis as the executioner. If you haven't seen last season's Gotham, spoiler alert, he becomes a supervillain. And so I had to do, it's probably about a 35-foot gold-tail jump out of the rafters of GCPD right before I fight the leads. And that was my first time doing one. And we rehearsed with pads on the ground. And, you know, you're on a decelerator line that slows you as you get to the bottom, but you know, for the actual shot, there's no pads. It just stops you as you hit the ground pretty much, and you have to learn to absorb absorb when you're doing it, absorb the impact, bend your knees, kind of catch yourself and stand up. So I'd never done one before, and first time they put me on the line and pulled me all the way up to the top, I'm up in the rafters looking down, and I'm like, man, this is high. this is up here, and I'm going to jump down onto this little 6-inch, pad from 35, 40 feet in the air. And one of the stunt riggers is a veteran guy, no nonsense guy, who had set the gag up and was down there watching. So I was like, I can't. As soon as he says jump, I'm jumping. I can't even think. Doesn't matter how scared I am, I can't show it. And first time I did it, went great. And after that, I was like, let's do some more. And I did that about 20 times on the rehearsal day to dial it in. Yeah. And then on the actual shooting day, I did a couple where they hung me and dropped me because I had a gauntlet on my hand, this big executioner's blade. So in the rehearsals, I was able to hold myself in the rafters with both hands. So on the actual day when we shot, I had this gauntlet on. I couldn't hold myself balanced and evenly to jump out. I was kind of holding on with one arm and had to kind of, when I jumped, reset myself in midair, hope I didn't twist too much. And at the same time, I had to land in the middle of the three stars of Gotham without hitting them. So at the last second, right before I did it, they asked, do we need to adjust anything? And Ben, the actor that plays Jim Gordon, I was like, Ben, you might want to move up about a foot. And so he moved about a foot away. I jumped and came down and landed. Everything went great. Right afterwards, one of the other stunt doubles comes over and says, hey, it's a good thing you moved Ben a foot because you missed him by like 6 inches. Wow. So a little scary. Things change on the day, but everything went great. Had to fight after that, and then the following day, I did a three-story high fall out a window, again as the executioner. And I guess to most people, that's scary, dangerous. To me, it just happened so quick. I was like, wow, it's over already? I didn't even really enjoy it. I was out the window and in the bag before I kind of realized what was happening. But hit my mark, one take. Everybody was happy with it. So
that's awesome.
Those were, yeah.
Now, was it that first one where you were up on the Raptors, did you have to redo that one on filming day, or was that one take as well?
Well, we did a few takes of that one because not that the stunt was wasn't going right, because there was it was all in one scene, so they had the actors come into the room and there's some dialogue and a couple other things happen and the camera movements, and then I would jump down into the fray. Mm-hmm. So when you have that much stuff going on, the director or DP are watching, and if even the slightest thing is an inch, not necessarily just the stunt, maybe the camera didn't move the right way, the camera didn't pan the right way, and he wants an actor to deliver a line slightly differently, or, somebody missed their mark by 2 inches. Anything can have you reset and do it again. So we wound up doing it, I think, 5 or 6 times.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah. You're a bit braver man than I would ever be.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, were talking about, the veterans that you've worked with in this thing, and As a kid, when I was a kid, there were two things I wanted to do if I ever got into movies. One was stunt work. The other one was special effects. I mean, Buddy Joe Hooker was a hero of mine.
Yeah.
And what was that point in your life where you said, that's it, that's the thing I want to do? I mean, was it something you saw in a movie, or was it just someone offered you the opportunity and you took it and ran with it?
Well, it as a kid, I watched The Fall Guy, so that was the very first first thing. Lee Majors, you know, Colt Seavers, that was my inspiration. From the very first thing I ever wanted to be was a stuntman. So growing up in Philadelphia, you know, as I got older, people told me to be realistic, and you know, the kind of that kind of sets in. Well, I don't live in Hollywood. I don't have, you know, I wasn't born as a legacy into this. It's not something really that I can pursue. So I went a different, you know, a different route. I was kind of stuff that built up to skateboard, to stunt work, including semi-pro skateboarding and stuff like that. But so years later, doing sketch comedy with friends and doing our own little fight shorts and comedic kung fu comedies and stuff like that, you know, it kind of rekindled the love that I had for it. And now that I was older, I kind of realized, well, New York is 2 hours up the street, really, from Philadelphia. So, you know, why not? Why not give it a try? And I can get in up there. And that's kind of what, you know, how it played out.
Yeah, they didn't have any. I'm with you. I mean, I live in Washington State. They didn't have any stunt schools or anything that you could go to up here. Now they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still would love to do a high fall, you know.
When I started, I was afraid of heights, and worked with a guy on set one day, and you know, he was telling me that, you know, he had to do this. He was an actor, had a stunt acting role, and they wanted him to jump out a window, and they were like, you know, you could do it yourself, or we'd get you a stunt double, but you know, the stunt double is going to get X amount of dollars for doing it. And the guy was like, well, forget the stunt double, I'm doing it myself. And once he told me that story, I was like, man, I got to get over this fear of heights. And you know, slowly started jumping off of, we would go to a gymnastics gym when we started, and it was like a second story loft we would jump out of into porta pits, stack up a bunch of porta pits, and just kind of did it so much that I guess I kind of got over it. I still get a little nervous looking down. You know, when you get up there and you're looking down, you're like, man, it's pretty high.
Yeah. I was the crazy kid that was jumping off our roof, and like a neighbor of ours had a swimming pool in a two-story house, and you just, you know, you jump off the top of the house into the pool, and no fear, man. I was stupid when I was young.
I was the same kid, but I'm terrified of heights now. Like, I used to jump off our roof into the pool. But and it's weird. It's another person I know who's in the stunt industry. But like, when I was a kid, we were sliding down the banister, like in school, on our stomachs, and I was sliding, and someone hit me in the back of the head as I was hanging over. And a guy had fallen from the third floor, went all the way down to the basement, landed in the basement, right? He works in the stunt industry now, though. For real, he's a stuntman. He was on Now You See Me. That movie Now You See Me had a speaking role in that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So he's in that, too. It's weird. I mean, things like that, now, like, that like, paved his way to doing what he did.
Yeah. So, terrified me. I have to add, you know, when I was a kid, I jumped off the roof as well, but it was a single story. and you know, the back of the house was partially underground, so it was, you know, it was just a little 4 foot drop.
It was like
2 feet jump.
Jason McFiggins is asking, Jay, have you seen Atomic Blonde? If so, what did you think of the stunts? And if not, you need to watch it.
I know, I've not seen it yet. I am excited to see it. You know, I know some of the people that worked on it. I know, you know, the coordinator who ran the stunts on it is someone I hope to work for one day. One of the top guys in the industry right now. And yeah, the stunts, you know, from what I've seen are amazing. And I probably, shame on me for not having seen it yet.
It's only been a few days, man. I mean, Leo and I saw it on Friday, but
you know, yeah.
But you're also a busy guy. You're all over the place. I always see posts that you're going here for this job or whatever. So you're keeping busy. That's good.
Yeah, I try and see stuff with my son too. Big stunt stuff. And so I try and certain things I have to wait until I'm, you know, together with him in the same town and we can go see it together. So,
and he's working his way into the industry as well a little bit. He's in Death House.
Yeah. He plays Kane Hodder's son in Death House. You know, his exposure to Kane prior to that was Jason X. So
out of all of them, that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Out of all of them. Well, you know, it's funny. When he was a really little kid, he loved the Resident Evil movies. And then as he got to be 11, 12, he would get a little scared, I guess. And then so I had to kind of trick him into watching Jason X by telling him, oh, it's like Star Wars, but with Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
So it's really sci-fi. It's not that scary. Watch it. Yeah. So, yeah, that was his first exposure to Kane, but he knows who he is. You know,
so, and when, okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was asking that.
Well, actually, before you get into that, Anna is asking, LOL, where's Cody? And
that's Anna from the panel up at Scaricon.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing.
And
Cody's in Philadelphia right now. He's at soccer camp, and hopefully practicing his martial arts as well.
Hint, Cody. Yeah.
And is there any gag?
More than likely, he's playing video games, but.
That's all right. It's all right, too.
Is there any gag or any anything that you really get jacked about doing? I mean, someone says, okay, we want you to roll a car or high fall or, you know, a high tie where they, you know, where you're hung, you know, or something like that.
Let me follow up with that. Along with that, Nicholas Boucher is asking, what's your dream stunt? So... If you can kind of roll that into one.
My dream stunt. Geez. I mean, I've crashed a couple cars, but I haven't flipped one yet. I haven't rolled one. Pipe ramp is what they use to get a car up onto its top. I mean, I've done the three-story high fall, so that was one of them, and through a window. I like breaking stuff. I like getting thrown through tables and walls and doors. You know, that's the fun stuff for me. Anytime, you know, somebody asks me on the set, asks me to come work, the first thing I'm hoping is that I get to break something. Not myself, obviously.
Yeah, not yourself. But, yeah. Everything else. Yeah.
Set deck. If I can break something on set, then that's great. You know, another scary, I guess, stunt that I did was a tempered glass gag on the originals two seasons ago. So I had to go. So tempered glass is what they use in car windows, super strong. Right. So they have a pyro guy that'll pop the corners with remote control so that it shatters as I head to the glass. So, I self-motivate and jump, and just as I'm about to hit the glass, the pyro guy hits it, and the glass shatters, and I fly through it. So the, you know, when I got the call for the job, the coordinator says to me, you know, it's not if you're good. And finally, he sprays around my mouth, and I hear in his voice, he's like, "Man, that's a lot of blood," and I finally say, "Dave, it's makeup." And he's like, "What? What?"
Second, hold on. I think we had lost the stream. Leo actually dropped off the call.
I saw that.
Yep. Okay. I'm bringing it back right now.
Yeah.
The hell's going on?
Yeah.
That techno song.
Yeah.
I hear yo-yo.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
What the hell is happening?
This is yo-yo's new ringtone.
So I apologize. We are now back live, and my internet. What the hell?
I don't know, but we don't have your camera. I know it doesn't matter, but we don't have your camera.
No. But everybody can see me here, so I apologize that you can see me and they can't. So.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we interrupted everything during an awesome story. I don't know if Jay wants to get back into it, but he was talking about the tempered glass story.
Yeah, so going through the tempered glass, I don't know what got cut off. So coordinator and the medic on one side of the glass, I'm on the other side of the glass. Don't open your eyes or mouth until we spray you off with the canned air. You're going to be bleeding. You're going to be cut. Just a matter of how bad, the ambulance is waiting to go. So right before I go through the window, the makeup artist comes over and says, hey, we're going to put a bunch of blood on you over here. And so they put a bunch of blood on me. I go through the glass. I land. Everything works great. Jay, okay, thumbs up. And I'm waiting, and the coordinator and medic come in and see the blood, and they're like, oh, my God, you're bleeding. We don't know where it's from. Just remain calm and spray me all off. And they're trying to figure out where I'm bleeding from. And finally, they spray around my mouth, and I say, that's makeup. And they were very much relieved.
Now, one of the things Leo actually texted me, like, right before he lost connection, which is probably the reason why he lost it, because he couldn't handle both. But now, recently there was a death on the set of The Walking Dead from a stunt that went wrong. Now, I know it's not as common as some people may think, but I mean, that does happen over time. I don't know what you know about like the stunt and how it went wrong, but what are your thoughts on how these things are run? I know you're in a lot of lower budget stuff, you know, so it gets a little hairy, right?
Well, I mean, everything is run with safety in mind. I can't really speak on what happened down here on The Walking Dead. There's, a lot of stuff still being, investigated. John Berniker was the stuntman who passed away, very unfortunately, because, he was a very likable guy. I never met him personally, but I have a lot of very close friends who are very close with him. And he was very... he was held in very high regard, from everything anybody's ever said. He's just was a great guy. A definite loss. My heart was broken hearing it every time, whether I know the person or not, that's still, it's a fraternity, it's the fraternity,
right?
It's one of my brothers in arms. Accidents happen. As much as safety is number one, there's still a level of risk that goes into the job. And you plan and you rehearse and you try and plan for every contingency and everything, to make everything as safe as possible. But sometimes it just something. Again, yeah. An inch off or an inch here or there, you never know what, So
before we came back from the stream, losing the stream, I was going to ask you when they set off the tempered glass, right? Mm-hmm. Is that an explosion that sets it off, or is that like a strip of nails that go? Because I know that in order to affect tempered glass, you got to hit it from the side with a sharp object. Like an ice pick or something, that'll cause the whole glass to shatter.
Right. So there's I guess there's small charges with nails that it ejects the nail into the glass, and it does it in around around the edges. So that's typically the method that they'll use when they have the budget for that. I just did a low budget commercial for beard oil that we'll probably be out pretty soon. And, we wanted to slam a guy into a tempered glass mirror and couldn't afford a pyro guy. So we had a grip out of frame with a hammer. And as our stunt guy gets thrown into the glass, right as he's about to hit it, the grip smacks the corner with the hammer and so it worked. You find creative ways to make these things work and get the director what he wants to see.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I always, whenever you see like someone get thrown to like one of those sliding glass doors, I always picture someone on the other side with like an ice pick through the frame, like, tack, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little more advanced with the remote charges.
The other big question is, were you able to take home any beard oil? That sounds amazing.
I did not get any of the beard oil. You know what? I'm a little disappointed. Although it was like patchouli scented, and I'm not much into the patchouli. Yeah. Maybe if they had maybe sandalwood or something, if we had a an option, but
or pizza. Like pizza scented or something.
That'd be pizza
scented.
Just walk around hungry all day.
Yeah, for real.
Why do I keep throwing pizza?
I have, I don't know if it's on an odd question or not, but now in sports and everything, they have like concussion protocol and whatever. In stunt work, do they have something like that now where it's like, you know, if you are like injured or showing signs, you can't do it anymore? Or.
That's something that's being talked about a lot right now. Again, because it's a hot button issue with sports, football, concussions are, I don't want to say common, but they happen. You know, we get thrown around a lot. There's a situation right now with, one of the retired stunt women who, you know, is having some trouble with our union getting her pension and her medical covered because of, you know, questions that the union's raising about the concussion syndrome. So, you know, hopefully they do the right thing and take care of her. But, you know, at this point, there's still, you know, the NFL, I guess, is the leading researcher on concussion protocol and, you know, the effects of concussions long term. So I guess as it trickles down from there, we'll kind of see a little more of it going into different areas, different, you know, job fields, including ours, I'm sure.
Yeah, you gotta think that there's going to be something at some point, because, I mean, you see even people like Kane, where, like, he gets sore, you know, whatever. He's been doing it a long time, you know?
Right.
And it's, you know, that luckily he's a person who's been able to work it into something else, you know, besides just stunts. But there's a lot of people out there that are like legendary stunt people that's all they've ever done. And, you know, they can't even stand up on their own sometimes, you know, it's like, there really should be something out there for that.
Right. And, you know, again, just like the football players, you got the football players that now they're, you know, they played long careers and now they can barely walk because their knees are so bad. And, you know, same thing with boxers with the concussion syndrome as well.
And even wrestlers, like, you know, a lot of wrestlers get pretty messed up, you know, do it for the show. And then the show doesn't care after the show is done, you know?
Some of them, those wrestlers, I mean, even some professional sports players, though, but some of them lose it to roids, man. I mean, they go down that really dangerous path and, you know, it screws with their head.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, there was a, at least with stunts, you know, back in the day, there was a cowboy mentality. And there still is to an extent. But I think nowadays you have guys more who look at themselves as more of, you know, a professional athlete as opposed to just some guy that's willing to fall down a flight of steps. Guys today in stunts train 5-6 days a week, various disciplines, martial arts, weightlifting, parkour, gymnastics, you know, all kinds of stuff just to get their body in peak physical condition, diet, you know, everything kind of comes into play. I think the stunt players of today are more akin to professional athletes than I think they were in the past. And I think part of that is because they want to, you know, have long careers. And again, you know, you see how guys who, even when they do take care of their bodies, they wind up in, you know, rough shape when they get older. So,
well, yeah, you look at those stunt workers from like the 1920s and the 30s and whatnot, and they're like, hey, I'll pay you like $20 to fly over that bar and, you know, slam into that glass. As long as he can get up, he doesn't care. You know, he's like, hey, yeah. I was in a movie. I was Tex Ritter's stunt double. You know?
Yeah. I mean, with technology and everything else and safety precautions nowadays have come leaps and bounds further. So has the physical training. So it's, you know, goes hand in hand.
Do you worry about technology taking over and somewhat taking your job? I mean, it's getting to the point where CGI is not flawless, but it's getting better.
It is, but I think there's always going to be you're always going to have a human element to it. It might take some of the risk factors out of it, you know, whereas you know, you used to do 10 story high falls, 20 story high falls, you know, really high up. Now they can put you on a safety line and you can do it that way and have more of a safety factor involved, and the technology allows you to erase the wires and make it look more realistic to an extent. You know, there's certain things that I mean, if you saw Dark Hall for Sci-Fi Channel, I got hit by a train. We couldn't do that practically. I was in an SUV and got hit by a train. So that was, you know, that's just something you're not going to do practically no matter what.
Right.
So sometimes it saves a little money. Sometimes it saves a life. Sometimes it, you know, it has its pros and cons. But there's always going to be room for guys to fight. You know, even now with all the superhero stuff that's going on, while there is a lot of CGI involved, a lot of it's motion capture. So you still have stunt people running around doing that stuff. They're just, you know, the body under the CGI skin.
Yeah.
That actually kind of goes into Leo had texted me because I can't see his face. So he texted me and said that there was a question in the chats. Leo, do you want to relay that question?
Yeah, we're getting a question asking from Steven, wants to know, how was it to work on Guardians 2?
Guardians 2 was, I mean, it was great. It was, I was a huge fan of the Guardians comic books growing up, back the original Guardians, you know, from the year 3000, Charlie 27, Yondu, you know. But I mean, I've followed the Guardians all through their comic iterations, and first movie I absolutely loved. So when the second one was here, you know, I sent my stuff in, just kind of put it out of my mind that, you know, it's huge. They're not going to use. I'm in Atlanta, so I figured they would just use a lot of Hollywood guys. And plus, a lot of it was CGI stuff, so I wasn't really expecting anything. And I wound up getting an email asking if I was available for a day, and I was overjoyed. So when I get there, they, you know, shave my head, shave my face, paint me blue, put a prosthetic on my eyebrow, dress me up in this crazy monk outfit, and we're in a giant blue room with, you know, a planet surface that we're running around on, and you know, got to work with James Gunn for the day, which was really cool. Awesome guy. You know, him just saying, "All right, and here's the creature, it's coming to get you, and fall." run and fall. So, you know, it's different doing that CGI stuff. You know, you don't have as much to work off of. We play make-believe for a living, but you really got to have a good imagination when you're in a just blue or green room and have to imagine fighting an army of aliens or something like that, you know?
That's still awesome, though. Like, just to even be part of it. Because the movie was really good. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah, it would absolutely be one thing if it stunk. You know, that would be like, oh, I was in this movie. Oh, that one? That ruined the franchise. That's fantastic. Yeah. But so what do you have coming up? What do you have coming out that people can see you in, or kind of see you in, see you do things,
kind of see me in?
Yeah.
So this year started off with a real superhero theme. So I did Gotham, which, you know, already was released. I doubled for one of the villains in the upcoming Tick series, the new Amazon.
Oh,
the Tick.
Yeah. I've only seen that pilot episode, and it was awesome. So I'm like,
yeah,
I'm psyched.
Yeah, the pilot is good. There's a trailer out for the full episode, and in the trailer you'll see the Tick throws a SUV wheel.
Yeah.
And that's me that gets hit with it and falls down, doubling for the actor there. So nice. I made the trailer.
That's awesome.
The trailer. That's me.
That's the back of your head getting caved in by a tire. Nice.
Exactly. That's the back of my head.
I could prove I'm in movies. That's me right there.
You just turn around. See? See? Back of my head.
Shortly after Gotham, I did The Punisher. So I play a New York cop for one episode of The Punisher. I can't really say a lot about that.
Is it like you have lines in it?
I mean, I say some, you know, freeze, get your hands up, scumbag type stuff, you know, the typical New York PD lines. I mean, you should see me. I hope.
You had lines. You had like at least one line in vinyl on HBO,
I did.
Right?
Yeah, I did. I had Lonnie the Bouncer. I did a couple episodes of that. And before I did the Gotham stunt doubling gig, I actually had a stunt acting role on there where I played a biker. So if you watch, was it episode 7, I think? I'm the lead biker that comes in and, you know, bursts through the door in the emergency room of the hospital. And
Heroes Rise, the Prime Riddle, biker
yes.
one.
Yep.
You had a longer beard. I've seen photos.
Yeah. The beard was hefty. I had to cut that for, to double Michael later episodes. So, but yeah, I had a few lines in that. I actually had to audition like as an actor and got to do, a little bit of acting. Angry biker. It was a real stretch.
It'd be hard to be typecast as that, though. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, I love it. So I have a couple other things coming up. I'm actually going to act as well in another horror movie called Last Laugh. It's a story about, how to describe it, like a demonic sideshow kind of goes wrong. So you have a clown back from the dead on a murderous rampage. So I'll have one of the supporting roles in there as well as stunt coordinating on it.
Is that the one it's on IMDb? It's referred to as Last Laugh.
Last Laugh, yes. Okay. We start shooting that in Atlanta in January. Still locking down a couple of our lead actors, but I know that they're talking with some people y'all would be familiar with. My friend's band, the Casket Creatures, will be providing a song for the soundtrack and possibly showing up in the scene at the freak show.
Was that the band you saw? You just saw them recently?
Yeah, I saw
some video and I was like, they look cool. Like, I'm like, yes. I'd probably dig this band if they were in my area. Like, I would probably go check them out.
I was trying to figure out what that shirt's for, man. I'm sitting there going, it looks cool.
Yeah. Check out Zombie Werewolves from Outer Space, their music video. You guys will dig it if you like Plan 9 from Outer Space, kind of old, you know, hokey.
Yeah. They're totally like, they're all made up. Like, I know it's probably like, I don't want to offend the guy, but the guy who's the lead singer, it reminded me of Meatloaf in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, he's like a biker, like, but he's like kind of like a zombie looking biker with like a, I don't know. It was cool looking.
Meatloaf meets the Misfits.
Yeah, yes. Kind of. But okay. I don't think the music didn't sound like Meatloaf.
So no, I'm talking look.
Meatloaf wouldn't do anything for love.
Yeah, he wouldn't do that. But yeah, that's awesome. Let me see. Was there anything else that like any other? I was looking at the IMDb. There was one that looks like a sequel, Escape Plan 2. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I worked on Escape Plan 2. Worked for a stunt legend, Master James Liu, who you've probably seen him in a billion things if you don't recognize the name. I guess my earliest was Big Trouble in Little China. He's one of the yellow turbans. And, nice. You know, when Jack Burton says, are these guys savvy English? And James is the one that says, who is this guy? But that was cool. I got to work with James, who's a legend in the stunt world, and Sylvester Stallone, who, you know, just an acting legend. And me being from Philly, was really cool to work with him for the first time. I'm sorry, for the second time, because...
Yeah. I know where you're going.
The scene in Rocky where he's running up the steps and all the kids are filing in behind him. Well, I grew up and went to school 7 blocks from the art museum, so we all got out of school early that day to fill in behind Rocky as he ran up the steps. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So there, you know, X amount of years later, I'm not going to say because I'm not giving my age away, but a lot of years later, and here I was fighting him on the set of Escape Plan 2. So
did you walk up to him and be like, "Hey, remember? Huh?" I was okay. And you just get down on your knees, like, "Yay, Rock! Yay, I remember you."
That's awesome. Yeah. I was the one on the 5th step up. Remember me?
Yeah.
I had the really shirt, you know, 5th step up, 3rd from the left.
So now, bowl haircut that we had back then.
Yo-Yo is frozen.
Oh.
Yeah, it seems like it.
You froze up.
There he goes.
Hello?
There you are. Go ahead.
Am I moving?
Yep.
All right. What part of Philadelphia are you from?
I grew up around Fairmount Park.
Okay.
So Center City, also the southwest suburbs just outside of Philadelphia, Upper Darby. So back and forth, you know, parents lived in both places. So I spent a good deal of time, you know, in both.
I'm from Philly myself, so I have to ask these questions.
Oh,
I'm
yeah?
Brought in Allegheny.
Okay. All right. Nice. Yeah, I know. I know the area.
Now, do you have a bucket list of people you want to work with?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, miles long, but but I've knocked a few off. You know, just Kane was on there, of course. Master Lou, Stallone, you know. I mean, as many, being a comic book geek, as you can see from my decor all around me here, you know, as many comic book themed shows and movies I could do as possible. They're all off the bucket list. So, you know, I worked, I just worked on MacGyver, the, second season of the reboot of MacGyver. You'll probably see me get beat up on that. But it was
looking forward to see that. I don't
like it. It's a lot of fun, a lot of stunts. Jeff Wolf, the coordinator on there, is, you know, one of the top stunt coordinators in the business, living legend, so to speak. You know, second time I worked for him, just great guy. A lot of fun.
Nice. One of the things I wanted to bring up too is we had the people from was it Ghost Source Zero on to promote that that's coming out, and you're the stunt coordinator for that movie as well.
Yep, as well as. Playing Spec Ops Yablonsky with my own
right. But because what we saw of it, it looks like a really good time. So I'm excited about it. Any news on that? Do you know any news?
I mean, I know all the distributions in place for international and domestic. I think it's just a matter of time before they get it into or onto, I think, Amazon and iTunes and stuff like that. It's going to be I haven't gotten a definitive date yet, but I've seen a screener. It does not disappoint.
Nice.
Very, you know, when I got involved with the project, it was kind of described as like G.I. Joe meets Blade Runner, and it very much, you know, lives up to that kind of description. So
yeah, what we saw we really dug, so I'm looking forward to seeing the final product on that.
Yeah, and a testament to independent filmmaking, because it was done as a Kickstarter project for very small budget. You know, Larry Hama involved, and Mark Chang the director, Joe Barbagallo the lead, and also one of the producers. You know, a labor of love and something that a lot of long hours went into for very low, you know, low budget constraints. So, you know, the finished product definitely is a testament to sticking to it, you know.
Yeah, and that's the passion behind it.
Right. There were times when Mark called me at one point and was like, I don't know, man. I'm looking at this and I don't know. And I was like, no, you're not quitting now, dude. You're finishing it. We're doing this. Let's go. And, you know, he'll tell you. There were times when he was, you know, questioning everything, but you keep following the dream.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, again, we're looking forward to checking that one out for sure. But so maybe like one of the things I was wondering, I think I brought this up on our panel too. Is there one stunt that you've been involved with whether it's coordinating or doing yourself that you're the most like that makes you the proudest out of your career? Like, what's the moment that you're like, check this one out? Like, you show your friends like, oh, this one's good.
Well, I mean, the high fall out the window is what, you know, that's one of the biggest ones when I show people or they ask what I do for a living or what is, you know, what have I seen you in? Why don't you see this? You know, here's that. Coordinating wise, I'm looking forward to Death House coming out so I can show people that prison riot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely something to be proud of. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, no doubt.
I was like, I mean, it was organized chaos at its finest. So, yeah.
And I can say like there was people that were sitting behind us that while it was going on were just like, Jesus Christ, like, you know, which is kind of what you wanted. That's what Harrison was going for, and it worked.
Yeah. And another part with that is getting to shoot that in Philly. Getting to, you know, I have a group of guys that we all started together in Philadelphia, and we're best friends. You know, they work a lot in New York now. I'm down in Atlanta, but back and forth, you know, wherever I'm needed. We'll always be best friends. We always will always be, you know, the guys that came in together. It's like a family. So being able to hire them and, you know, at that point, not just hire that core group of guys, but there are also other guys in Philadelphia that want to live the dream and that were training and doing all the right things, but there's not a lot of opportunities in Philadelphia. So I was able to, you know, bring some of those guys in and give them their first stunt jobs, get them their, you know, their union eligibility and get them out there, get them experience, even if it wasn't doing anything crazy, you know, just doing some stunts towards the background of the main stunt. You know, they were able to get out there and do that. You know, that was one thing that I'll always be really proud of is, you know, all the guys that came on there and worked for me. I mean, they made me look good. They made my job easier because they were all so good at what they did. But a lot of them were, you know, newer and younger in the business, you know, and for them to go above and beyond and to kind of, you know, get that first job or get that, you know, that next step towards the dream, you know, that made me proud.
Yeah. Well, it was, I brought it up last time we had Harrison on too, like even just like the vibe on set and everything, like everyone seemed like they were all friends and,
you know, oh yeah.
It was really neat.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm assuming not every movie's like that. I'm assuming.
No, not every movie's like that. I've been on other ones. And there's been some turmoil behind the scenes. You know,
I'll tell those stories.
He still wants. He wants to continue to work, so he's not going to tell those stories.
I was just kidding anyway. So.
No, but you know, you go there and you do your job regardless of what's going on behind the scenes. You're there to be a professional and to do your job. So that's always number one. You're always going to do that. But when you have a cast and crew and, you know, people that get along as well as we did on Death House and as well as we did on some of these other shows that I've done, big, small, you know, everywhere in between, it just makes the job that much more fun and smoother and everything's just, you know, it's just much more pleasant. You know, those are the days you look forward to going to work and seeing everybody, even if you just wrapped 8 hours ago, 10 hours ago, and we're just, you know, on set for 12 hours. And, coming right back with a little bit of sleep. So yeah. You're still, you know, you're there to support each other and always, you know, pick each other's spirits up.
Very cool. Is there anything else you guys have? Yes, no, maybe?
I was going to just check in with Leo. Leo?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Do we have any comments?
Let's see. Matt Roy says, well said, brother. Ryan Cadaver says, nice
about
shirt,
what
Jay.
We don't know. But
okay, well, Matt Roy is the writer and one of the producers on Last Laugh.
Okay.
So, you know, eventually, hopefully you guys will have him on the show at some point to talk about Last Laugh with y'all. And Ryan Cadaver is the singer from the Casket Creatures.
Oh, nice.
So give him a shout out.
Hopefully I didn't offend you.
Sure.
Yeah, nice.
Nicholas Boucher says, I think anybody who puts their bodies through hell for a movie or a show like that deserves to be taken care of after they are done.
Yep.
And
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Chad Davis says, I think paying attention to concussions in sports and stunt work is super important, but please no more movies like Concussion. Tell the truth.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna have a movie like Concussion for the stunt world, so you're safe.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, is there any stunts that aren't allowed anymore in movies? This, you know, safety, like back in the day it would happen all the time, but now they're like, we're not gonna let that happen anymore.
I'm sure there's stuff that they will do differently. I won't say that there's anything that they've said, hey, that's just not allowed. We're not, you know.
Well, I know that they got really serious when Vic Morrow died on Twilight Zone with that whole helicopter thing.
Yeah. One of the shows I worked on, network TV show, we actually had a helicopter scene, and they were real strict about letting the actors anywhere near the helicopter when the blades were moving. Only stunt people were allowed to get in and out of the chopper when it was, you know, when the blades were in motion. So, you know, again, I don't want to say that they'll say outlaw anything flat, but there are different protocols that are followed for certain things.
But they've definitely got more strict, more stringent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's what you want. You want the safest possible. Everybody wants to go home at the end of the day to their families and, you know, come back to work again the next day. So it's, you find a way to achieve what the director wants to capture on camera, but you find a way to do it safely. And as a coordinator, if a director wants to do something, they don't understand sometimes the danger involved with some stuff. So as a coordinator, it's, you know, my job or whoever the coordinator's job is to say, yeah, well, how about we do it like this instead? Because, you know, this might work a little better. This is going to be a little safer.
I mean, we were talking about flipping cars earlier, and you say that they use a pipe ramp nowadays. In the old days, you know how they used to do it. They used to use a telephone pole underneath the car.
They still do that sometimes.
Do they? That's they crazy. Still,
Yeah. An explosion that pushes the pole out of the bottom of the car and whoop, flips it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, again, there's the guys, you know, I haven't been fortunate enough to be involved with a lot of that stuff yet. Hopefully I will be at some point in my career. But, you know, those guys are legends, man. They're, you know, that stuff.
I can't imagine the stunt people that were involved in the A-Team or Dukes of Hazzard, because they flipped the car every episode.
Honestly, on the A-Team, when you saw, like, those big vehicles go up in the air and flip, that was a telephone pole coming out of the bottom of the car that was shooting them up.
Every episode, without fail.
Pretty much, yeah.
Killer Cal says, how's it, and aloha from the 808, and says, wasn't that ruling due to an accident that killed three actors on the Twilight Zone movie?
More than likely. I mean, I know Vic Morrow died.
Yeah, Vic Morrow, and wasn't there a kid involved with Vic?
I think there was, yeah.
Vic was carrying kid on that. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, again, there's always a bit of risk involved, and you want to eliminate that as much as possible. But, you know.
But at the same time, too, there's, I mean, how many productions are in place every single day across America? And, I mean, these things do happen, but
right,
obviously there's things in place because you don't hear about them happening all that much.
You know? Right. It's, yeah, exactly. You know, usually the safety measures that are taken are usually such that you know, everybody goes home with a couple bumps or bruises. You know, a lot of people ask me, oh, what's, you know, how many bones have you broken? How many of this? How many of that? And, you know, bumps and bruises is all I've ever, knock on wood, you know, suffered in, you know, on the job.
The only
outside
other
of the job, I've broken plenty, but on the job.
I was trying to think of, like, when it comes to, you know, accidents, the only other one I can really think of that's wiggling through my mind right now is the guy that died on the set of the original Triple X. He was parachuting down into that boat going through the water, and
okay,
and well, yeah, and I mean, you had the bridge,
and you had the guys on Expendables. Was it Expendables 2? You know, a lot of this stuff. I mean, and then you had another one with, I think it was a Bollywood movie where a couple guys, now this wasn't here in America, a lot of this stuff, sometimes it takes place overseas, yeah, where they, you know, sometimes they cut more corners. You know, one that's good thing about America and Screen Actors Guild and you know, the stunt associations here is that they're very strict about this stuff. Couple stunt guys, I'm pretty sure it was a Bollywood movie or maybe over in Thailand, were told to jump out of a helicopter into water, and neither one of them could swim, and they didn't know that they were doing a stunt like that day. They just showed up on set and, hey, you're going to jump out into the water, and they both wound up drowning.
Wow. Speaking of that type of stunt, what do you feel about what was it, Open Water? Where they put the people in shark suits, chummed up to water, and threw them in?
I didn't see Open Water, I don't think.
Yeah, that was...
That's the one where they're, like, treading water because the boat... Yeah. I have this fear of sharks. I don't go in the ocean past like my knees.
So we now know your limit. You know that, we know that line. There's...
no ocean stunts for me. No surfing. I was born in Philly. I'm a skateboard guy.
Before you tomorrow, say we will give you X amount of money to go into the water. You know,
oh man, God. I think about it. You know,
well, they can do it with green screen. Knows how to skate. It's like surfing. So
right there, we go.
Yeah, it's green screen.
That's what green screen's for.
Yeah. Get a little skate ramp in there, you know.
Yeah.
All green. Like,
yep. CGI shark comes up behind me, and I punch it in the nose, and
yep,
skate away.
Yep.
So there's what you got to do. You got to replicate, you know, Fonzie's jumping the shark with a skateboard.
Oh, yes, jumping the shark. Yeah.
They're going to have to replace that at some point. Something's going to be, you know, the new jump the shark. We don't know what it is yet.
It's always going to be jump the shark.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Can it be something to do with Michael Bay?
Flare the lens,
that should be the new term. Instead of jumping the shark, he's Michael. That movie, Michael Bade.
Yeah,
it's just way too many unnecessary explosions and lens flares.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that aren't supposed to explode.
Lens flares explode. What? Yeah. Exploding lens flares.
Don't give him any ideas.
I know. Okay? If he's listening, he's going to totally do it.
It's the next just movie is everything. Michael Bay, exploding lens flares.
It's already in pre-production. It's already greenlit.
Yeah.
Killer Cal says Hong Kong is infamous for that, and he guessed no stunts for you in Maui.
No.
And he says, you just Michael Bay'd it. There we go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, we already know that it's a thing over there in Hawaii, so thanks to Kill a Cow. All going, okay, guys, you Michael Bay'd it.
We just coined that term. There we go.
Yeah. Well, we that's one thing we do on the show is we definitely coin terms. Like the Krusty comic books.
Krusty comic books.
Ron, yeah, there's a bunch. Just recently there's a bunch.
Nope the fuck out.
And nope the fuck out. That's one thing. Anyways, on that note, Leo, do we not have anything else in the chat?
That is it. And other than big time Michael Bade, I think we should call it.
I kind of heard you. There was a dog barking, so your mic cut out.
Sorry. Yeah, he's in the other room barking still.
What's his name?
Flash, of course.
After Flash Gordon, or after
the Flash.
Okay. I don't know if I want to that Flash. Stellar Flash movie. What's that?
Which version of the Flash?
Oh, I guess he's Barry Allen. I guess. I mean, he's more like Bart Allen. He's a pain in the ass.
So he's basically his Impulse.
Yeah, I should have called him Impulse. I was going to get two and name him Flash and Arrow, but one was enough. He's handful enough. So.
What kind of dog?
He's an Australian cattle dog, years old. He travels with me everywhere. So he comes. Really? He's been on sets and in the trailer waiting. And
was he on the set of Death House?
He wasn't on the set of Death House. No, he did come up for. I did a movie called Buck Run in Pennsylvania where we were dealing with some like teen bullying issues in the film, and so I had to do some, you know, the actors that. Teenage actors were going to do their own like fight scenes and stuff, so I had to do some training with them. And yeah, he was there, and I had to. Some people even play fight around him. He gets a little rammy, so I had to kind of block him off so he couldn't see the rehearsal. Yeah. So, you know,
has he ever been in a movie?
He has not. No.
Okay.
There's still time. No. 22.
Yeah. Yeah. Groom him for that. A no pun intended.
Yeah. we met a dog on the set of Death House, but I don't know if it was like a, was it a golden retriever or something that we met? Someone brought a dog.
Yeah, there was. I think it was one of the producers. His wife had a German Shepherd. I think it was.
Oh, maybe it was a German Shepherd. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very well behaved.
Oh yeah, really nice.
Quiet.
Dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Around a lot of people, he was not fazed at all. That would not be my dog.
Yeah. my dog would be fine unless there was a tennis ball in the area. Then that's it.
She's running like, around. You're howling. Playing with me.
She's howling with a tennis ball in her mouth, which is adorable. But whatever. But anyways, we can talk about dogs all day. But I think Leo is. We're gonna wrap it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jay, where do you like people following you?
I rarely go on Twitter. I'm on there, but I rarely even check it. I've got a Facebook page, like a fan page out there that I update every once in a while. I think I'm on Instagram, Green Monster Stunts. The Facebook and I guess the Instagram are the two places where you can follow my exploits and kind of see what I'm up to. Although I get told that I'm too much on social media all the time. Like, stop with all that social media stuff.
I don't think compared to most of the other people that I follow on social media, you're not. Don't worry about it.
No.
There's people that post way too much on social media.
Okay.
You're not one of them. Yeah.
One thing, if
I wouldn't have been able to hear that the band that you're wearing the shirt for.
Yeah.
Unless it was social media, right?
Right, exactly.
Posted videos. So there you
go. I posted videos from their show the other night. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, one thing you can do is if you want to follow Jay, check the show notes down below or up above, and we put a bunch of links there, including a link to your stunt reel, your IMDb page as well. So if you want to follow Jay, definitely check out his stuff. And Yo-Yo.
Yep.
or do you want people following you?
Not home.
But it'd be easy enough because you walk.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I don't walk fast either. You can find me at boymeetsphone.com. Also, boymeetsphone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're doing your social media. I should probably be somewhere around there lurking in a corner. Also, make sure you're following New England Comic Con Reviews at anycomicconreviews.com or NECC Reviews on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. Also, of course, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday on The Dorking.
Tony.
Tony.
What, is my internet slow?
Yeah.
It's not just the internet.
Well, you can find me on Tony has Nine Fingers on YouTube, Twitter, and Horror Meal. And then you can find me on Instagram, Tony's Movies, where I show off my movies behind me.
Got it all out. That's good. Congratulations. Wolfie.
You can find me on YouTube, the 1312 Band, Twitter at the 1312 Band, Tumblr, 1312 Band, The Prowl, every Sunday in The Dork and every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, doing Horror One with Kev. When we're done with that, we'll be doing the Wicked Horror Reviews, and I'm also doing American Werewolf and London over on Will I Like It Reviews on Tuesdays.
Take a breath. And you can find me, A Knuckle, on Twitter, Instagram, A Knuckle 3 on Snapchat, as well as every Sunday on The Dorkening, Tuesday on Wicked Horror Shows, doing the reviews of Wolfie, and that's about that. And Leo?
Well,
where can people find you?
Yeah, well, make sure you follow The Dorkening. We're doing three shows a week, as you heard. We're doing a Dorkening special every Sunday at 10 a.m. early. And then every Tuesday, the horror show here at 9 p.m., then every Thursday at 9 p.m., the video game show. Plus, we visit cons and interview a lot of awesome people like Jay here. Jay, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you guys for having me, man. It was a pleasure coming on and getting to run my mouth a little bit.
Totally. You're always welcome.
Always welcome. Always welcome.
Shout out to the Casket Creatures. If you guys follow them on Facebook, check out their music on YouTube. Green Monster Stunts, my buddy 9to5 Stunts, you know, my Philly crew, my Atlanta crew, all those guys. Much love.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you about stuff, man.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
I just followed the Casket Creatures. How do you like that?
Awesome. Sweet. Yeah, watch the videos. You will definitely love them.
Okay, nice. With that, we'll catch you later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Peace. All right, guys.
Bye, everybody. Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience, where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.